Okay. Well, it's good to see everyone this morning. Wednesday evenings, we've been covering the different realities of the Christian life, and we've been going several weeks now into the reality of the Holy Spirit. And someone asked the question, a very good question, concerning what it means to pray in the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. And because there's a lot of confusion about the Holy Spirit, it shouldn't surprise us, there's a lot of confusion about what it means to pray in the Spirit. So I want us to kind of think about that for our topic this morning. I want us to spend a few minutes preparing our hearts for prayer and asking ourselves from the Word of God, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? And we aren't to bring to the text our experience and say, well, I know what it means to pray in the Spirit because I felt this or that, but we're to go to the Word of God and say, what does God say about it? And what I want us to see is that we can't pray as we ought apart from the Spirit of God. So this is not an option for a Christian. This is indispensable to our Christian life. There's two times where we see this phrase, to pray in the Spirit, occurs in Scripture. And once in Ephesians 6:18. So Ephesians 6:18 is in the context of spiritual warfare. God is giving us a list of the armor of God, and he's talking about our warfare that lies not with non-Christians, non-believers, but lies with the spiritual powers of darkness. Yeah, it's real, okay? This isn't sci-fi. This is a whole spiritual realm that we cannot see or sense, but it's real. And Paul tells us that the list of all of these items in the armor of God that Christians are to take to themselves to stand in that evil day, Paul says, with all prayer, this is Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. He says, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So Paul's saying, hey, take yourself all this armor of God, but be praying always in the Spirit. So this is one time we see the phrase, praying in the Spirit. Then, the other occasion is in Jude chapter 20. You know, that's this tiny little, not the shortest book in the New Testament, but almost, tiny little book just before the book of Revelation. In Jude, only one chapter, verse 20, we read, in this context of apostasy, he's warning of those who cause divisions, they're worldly-minded in the church, and he makes this point. He says, they are devoid of the Spirit, just like Romans 8 says. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you, if you don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, you are none of his. You don't belong to him. Every true child of God has the Holy Spirit. Not some children of God, you know, and some don't. No, every believer has the Holy Spirit the moment they're born again. And through all eternity, it's eternal. But here, Jude is talking about those devoid of the Spirit. And in contrast to those devoid of the Spirit, he says in verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And here we see the way he's kind of framed this in his exhortation to believers. At the very end of his letter, Jude is saying, hey, build yourselves up in your faith. You need to build your faith. Getting saved and coming to Jesus Christ, sure, when you were 10 years old or when you were 20 or whatever, that's not the end of the Christian life. That's the beginning. And so what Jude is saying is build yourselves up continually. This is a present continuous action. And one way you do that is by praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. It's indispensable to the Christian life. So we're to pray at all times in the Spirit. We are to this is a way of building ourselves up on our most holy faith. It's important. But what exactly does it mean? I think that's probably even the more curious question we have, right? What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Well, praying in the Spirit essentially means that we must submit ourselves to obey the Spirit. We have to submit ourselves to obey the Spirit. And just like we need the Spirit of God to enable our just like we need oxygen to enable our physical life, right? And if you don't get that oxygen, you're dead physically. In the same way, you need the Spirit of God for your prayer life. In your communion with the Father, you don't have that, your prayers aren't going anywhere. It doesn't matter what you feel in your heart. It's the Spirit who makes our prayers meaningful. And so I want to show us several things about how we can pray in the Spirit and what it means, what it looks like from Scripture. And I think we could begin by simply saying this. We know what it's not. Because the opposite of praying in the Spirit is praying what? Praying in the flesh. Yes. Praying in the flesh. Do we ever see this in Scripture? Yes. In James chapter 4 and verse 3, James is talking to these Christians and he says, you ask, you're praying, he's saying, you ask in prayer and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. He's saying, man, you people are praying, but you're doing it with the wrong motives. Your spirit is wrong. They were praying, we could say, in the flesh, according to their, how does he put it? According to their own pleasures. They wanted what they wanted from God. And that's praying in the flesh. So what we're talking about when we're talking about praying in the Spirit is the exact opposite. It's not praying according to your desires. It's praying to the desires of the Spirit of God. Now let's kind of continue looking at this. There's some clarification I think we have in 1 Corinthians 14. And now this chapter raises a number of questions that we don't have time to address. I did teach on tongues at the very beginning of this year in our Sunday school time, but we would have to spend more time at 1 Corinthians 14 to really understand all of what's going on. But in verse 15, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, I think Paul gives us a helpful principle that praying in the Spirit doesn't mean disengaging your brain, okay? This is important. He says in 1 Corinthians 14, 15, what is the outcome then? I will pray with the Spirit, I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the mind also. Both are necessary. Necessary to pray in the Spirit. It's necessary to pray with the mind. In other words, our prayer is not mystical to where we disengage our brain. We don't simply disengage our mind when we pray, like some form of Eastern meditation where it's just some passive thing. No, your brain is to be actively working. But neither is prayer simply intellectual. It's not an intellectual exercise where you simply sit there and say, what's going to come to my mind? God wants you to know there's something spiritual to this, or there ought to be. In spiritual prayer, that's what it is. So praying in the Spirit doesn't mean disengaging our brains. Another thing we see in Scripture about praying in the Spirit is that praying in the Spirit requires the Spirit's helping our weakness. The Spirit's helping our weakness. Romans chapter 8, in verses 26 and 27. Paul says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Man, Christ is in heaven interceding at the Father's right hand for his people. And the Spirit within us is interceding for us to the Father. This is a really good situation here. The whole Trinity is involved in helping God's people. And in the context of prayer, when we meet to pray, what's important to understand is it's the Spirit of God that we have to depend upon to help our weakness. Let me make this practical. Do you always feel like praying? No. Okay, you can be honest here. Don't lie, right? We don't always feel like praying. Sometimes we're tired. Sometimes the last thing we want to do is pray. You know what you need? You know who you need? It's the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to help your weakness. And that's what one of the reasons God gave us the Holy Spirit, so that he could stir us to pray. He could help us in our weakness. And this is encouraging to me too, because you don't have to be real experienced in prayer. Sometimes people talk about prayer warriors. You heard that expression? Oh, that person is a mighty prayer warrior. Well, there is something to be said for learning how to pray. The disciples come to Jesus and they say, Lord, teach us how to pray. Okay, and Jesus teaches them. We can grow in prayer, and prayer is work. Man, that's another whole other message we could look at. So there's something to learn, but you know what? You could be starting right now. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. That's enough to help you to have meaningful prayer, to pray in the Spirit, because he's the agent of prayer. Now, another thing we see in James 5, verse 16, again, all these references don't have this phrase, praying in the Spirit, but I believe they're all related to this idea in the New Testament. In James 5, 16, James is exhorting believers to confess their sins to one another, and he goes right from that into this exhortation to pray. He says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. There's discussion on all that this means and everything, but here's the real point where I'm going. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. What a principle. What a promise of God. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. It's actually the same phrase, accomplish much, there is used of the word of God accomplishing much in the book of Acts. And maybe we feel, man, we could use a mighty revival, and if we had just some preaching of guys like George Whitfield and all that, we'd see some mighty works of God. That would accomplish much. Yeah, God's word is powerful. And you know what? Prayer is powerful. God talking to us and us responding to that's powerful. But us, by the power of the Spirit, praying out our hearts to the Father, that's powerful. God says effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. And if you're in Jesus Christ, you are positionally righteous, we could say. There's a need to confess sin. But the real focus is this word effective here is a middle passive participle that kind of indicates somebody else is doing this energizing, making our prayer effective. And I don't think there's any doubt about it as we consider Romans chapter 8 and all, that this is the role of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who makes our prayer effective. In fact, the word is energeo. He's the one who makes our prayer energized. He's the one who energizes our prayer. Now, here's the million-dollar question. When does the Holy Spirit enable, empower, energize our prayer? And this brings us back to what I was originally saying. The power, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, empowers our prayer as we yield ourselves to obey his will. The Holy Spirit energizes our prayer. He will empower our prayer so that we are praying in the Spirit, by the Spirit, as we yield to obey his will. Praying in the Spirit is not an act of passive submission that is followed by some super mystical feeling. Again, it's not me just sitting in a room, emptying my brain of every thought and waiting for something to hit me. It's not passive like that. Just like, and where do we get this idea? Like in our Wednesday night Bible studies, we've been looking at to walk in the Spirit, to live by the Spirit, to be filled by the Spirit. All of these things are not some passive submission to some, and then some ecstatic feeling. This is a, like in Romans 8, 9 through 14, this is a choice to war against sin, to submit to the desires of the Holy Spirit over the desires of your flesh. That's what Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 25 is about. It's a war. The flesh is lusting. It desires against the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit within you has desires against the desires of your flesh, and you can't have both. And so you have to make a choice. And if you're going to walk in the Spirit, it means you're going to have to choose. I will yield to the desires of the Holy Spirit. How do you know his desires? Again, it's not putting your finger to the wind. It's not some kind of mindless meditation, something real passive. It's listening to the Holy Word by which the Holy Spirit speaks. He speaks through his word. And let me tell you, if we would yield ourselves to what God has revealed in his word by his Spirit, you know what? Our prayer will be energized. Our prayer will be effective. We will be praying in the Spirit. How can we be praying in the Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God in our prayer? By simply yielding ourselves to Him. Not in some passive mystical sense, but saying, Lord, whatever your Spirit says, I will do. And so think about that this morning. This is extremely practical. A few things are as dry or miserable as a prayer meeting that's just where people don't want to be there, but they're just going through motions. You know what I'm talking about? We don't come and pray, or we ought not to, because that's just what we do at the Bible Church. We should come and pray because we say, God has commanded us to. This is a way of seeing God accomplish much in His kingdom. This is how God has chosen to work. Yes, He's sovereign. Does He need us to pray? This is how He... Okay, there we go. That's what it was. Were you timing me? Great. We gotta drill that faster. Few things are as miserable as a dry prayer meeting. We don't want that. God doesn't want that. God is interested not just in the fact that we talk to Him, but in the manner by which we do so. And God did not give you the Holy Spirit this morning. If you're a true child of God, He didn't give you the Holy Spirit so that you could just pray according to your flesh. He gave you the Holy Spirit so you could submit yourself to Him this morning. And you could say, Lord, whatever you say to me, I will do. I yield myself to you. Now energize me to pray according to your will. I don't want to pray my own motives. I don't want to be selfish this morning. I want to be stirred about what the heart of God in heaven is stirred about. And if that's your prayer, then it's not feelings. Don't look for an emotion. But you can pray in the Spirit. You will pray in the Spirit. So I hope that encourages you. It's not about how emotional you feel. I love it when prayer meetings are stirred. It's great to be in a prayer meeting where somebody's weeping. You're like, wow, okay. It feels like something's happening, right? But you know what really matters? It's not emotions. That's a byproduct. The prime product is the Holy Spirit empowering His people as we yield ourselves in obedience to His word. So with that in mind, we don't have much time, but for those of you online, we're going to go to prayer here in just a few minutes, and I'll give a chance. This will be corporate. There's no order or anything like that, but as you feel led or prompted by God's Spirit, voice your prayers to the Lord. You can praise Him. You can ask the Lord to do something in your life, in somebody's life. But we only have a few minutes. Those online, I'd encourage you to spend some time as well doing the same. Let's